Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. Tonight we have an incredibly exciting show that's so exciting I can't even slow down my rate of speech. I'm here in the studio with not only my charming and delicious co-host, Lance.
Woo!
But international gay sexpert and ultra-transgendered scientist, DJ++. DJ++, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Now, if I understand my cue cards correctly, you were born female. Is that correct?
That is not correct.
Wait a moment.
You know, we've already fired two cue card guys this year. I mean,
I was actually born both. Hermaphroditic, I think is the scientific.
So, did they do the surgery on you right away at birth, or did they wait until you hit puberty?
My parents kind of thought it was cute for a few years, but then they decided to get the surgery.
Well, you think such neglect by your parents would scar you emotionally for life?
No way. Okay. I am a very stable human being.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you must have very open-minded parents, because a lot of parents, when their child is born with some unusual, some deviation from the norm, they freak out. They're like, you know, my child needs surgery. They want instant correction. They think that they've given birth sort of mutation. But you know, your parents are really understood and thought it was cute having both sets of genitalia.
Well, it's not clear whether they both thought it was cute or at least one of them was just in shock for an extended period of time.
You know, I've met parents whose thought is, oh, no, I must normalize my freak child. Rather, their thoughts were, you know, here's some money that just fell in my lap.
I think that, you know, they were like, let's enjoy our freak child.
Was this money that would come from, signing up for the circus, or this money from a massive hospital lawsuit?
Nowadays it's all from the internet, I think, actually.
But
back then in the 70s, it was the circus.
Well, that's exactly why we can't get good cue card guys, is because they're all, like, going to Silicon Valley and forming startups.
Cue card startups? Or are they all secret master hackers in their spare time?
EQcard.com, I'm serious. they just sold to Yahoo, I think, for like $50 billion.
You know, it's possibly the problem that our lovely and talented producer, Kate, just isn't slapping our cue card guys around enough, that she's letting them slide too much.
Kate, you're looking very fetching tonight, by the way. Can you do my microphone thing? I just had to move.
You guys talk on
yourself. So, DJ++, is that some sort of hidden, veiled reference to Orwell's dystopian nightmare future of 1984?
No.
Okay.
No, that would be a reference to the fact that I had both sexes.
Plus.
Sex plus plus.
So,
gender plus.
Mere mortals like me and DJ. I'm sorry, what did you say your name was again?
DJ. Moniistic. Misoniism. DJ misoniistic. I've learned this word today. Misoniism is a person who's afraid of change.
Is there any way you can give me an easy-to-remember abbreviation for that?
DJ Miss M.
Oh, not DJ Boney M. Okay, DJ Miss M. DJ Miss M and I, Lance, would be plus-minuses, and it's only the separate class that's a plus-plus.
Okay.
Boy, you know, the crystal meth that I bought today is just not working for me. This is another thing with the internet. You know, it's not all good on the internet. Like, all my regular dealers have gone to Silicon Valley and are forming startups. You know, crackwhore.com. It's just basically. So,
for those of you at crackwhore.com who'd like to call us to get our addresses to send us a check for plugging you on the show, you can reach us at, what's the phone number again?
621 WRCT. That's 621-9728. We're also available on the web at WRCT.org.
So right now my significant other, who did not know that I was a plus-plus, is freaking out.
Really? This is kind of like that Madam Butterfly scenario where, like, so how long have you been together with your significant other?
Now he's going to kill me for not knowing. 4 years, I think.
So you're with a man, a genetically pure male.
As far as I know.
I mean, genetically pure gender-wise or genetically pure in the Aryan sense? What do you mean by that?
Actually, I meant specifically in the gender sense, but...
Well, how do we know? I mean, DJ++ has been keeping a secret these many years, right?
But are you implying that I'm genetically impure? As opposed to genetically superior?
Well, you may well fall within the next into the next wave of human evolution. I don't know.
I mean, there is an old saying: you've got to break a few chromosomes to make a hermaphrodite. Right?
So, but now, DJ++, you identify, obviously, as a homosexual or as a woman. Like, which is, I mean, you're with a man, so there's so obviously you're either homosexual or you're a female heterosexual.
Homosexual male. Yes.
Interesting. And
I think they flipped a coin to decide what to keep.
Really? Your parents?
Yeah. Well, I don't know who flipped the coin. Somebody did.
That seems awfully harsh and arbitrary.
Well, you know. I call them. I don't know.
Maybe we will.
Hey, we're on your side, DJ++.
I don't know why they did what they did. But they did.
Okay.
But I don't care.
So DJ++, is your have you experienced any problems or prejudices because of your gender dysphoria? I mean, you know, it's like you seem very well adjusted to me. I mean, after all, you're wearing a penguin's shirt, or you were.
I took that off.
And you know, you seem well integrated. You were just at a hockey game, and you weren't killed by the rabid, very close-minded hockey fans.
I didn't shout in the middle of the game that I was, you know, formerly two-gendered.
Hey, as an ex-hockey player and a rabid hockey fan, I resent the implication inherent in that statement.
So, I mean, I'm just going on stereotypes. It's true. Are you saying that hockey players are more open-minded? Like the goalie, for example. Like on every sports team, I happen to know there's one player that's always like the gay one. In volleyball, it's the setter, right? And so in hockey, is it like, I would think it would be the goalie, right? Because he's always receiving.
Not in my experience. I mean, if anything, they're usually S&M freaks because they're used to getting hit with hard objects hurled at them at incredibly fast speeds.
Okay. And you played hockey?
I did indeed for 14 years.
What position?
Defense, mostly.
Okay. So there's one data point for your theory.
Right.
In trying to determine which player is the gay player.
Well, unfortunately, when I think back to all the hockey players I've ever known, there's not a single one of them whom at the time I knew was gay, or now, given my supra-gay knowledge that's been imparted to me by DJ Miss M, that I suspect was, in fact, gay. So I have no positive data points to offer, despite my wealth of experience. And as far as I know, no major hockey-playing athlete has come out of the closet, correct?
Bobby Orr came out.
But that was only to lead a triumphant goal-scoring drive to win the Stanley Cup, not to express his sexuality.
I didn't realize you were still talking about homosexuality. <I'm sorry. laughs> But it wasn't always champagne and roses for you, was it? DJ++. So
I suspect at times it was malt liquor and pork rinds.
Well, you know, there was the circus years that were kind of, you traveled a lot, couldn't make friends, you know.
What do you mean? Roadies are some of the tightest knit people in humanity.
But they're a bunch of freaks.
Well, people who live in glass houses.
I told you I wasn't a freak. I was just superior.
So your claim is that being able to play two gender roles, switching at will, actually transcends some of the limitations inherent in sort of the puny plus minus or minus plus humans that you have to live among?
Correct.
Geez, I don't know how to take that.
I mean, do you ever regret the road not taken, for example? There are so many advantages to being a female. I mean, there are sort of manifest disadvantages, but they're in terms of sensitivity and lifespan and being in touch with your emotions and so on. There's plenty of advantages to being a female.
Well, I think I still have the best of those qualities, right? I still am in touch with my emotions. I'm a very sensitive guy. Inside, I'm still, you know, both.
That's beautiful. Was it painful in your college days? You know, often it's when people go to college or late in high school and people start dating and feeling sexual and feeling the need to pair up with another person. When you started having those feelings, were you concerned that people would consider you a freak? Or what were your feelings? Don't let me put words in your mouth. You know, there you are. It's high school. You've got feelings for, you know, the star quarterback or the head football.
The leading goal scorer on the hockey team. Can I interject just a brief comment here? I'll say that in our discussion so far with DJ++, we seem to be viewing him almost exclusively through freak-colored glasses.
How true you are. Are you suggesting that we should approach him as a human being first?
No, I'm not suggesting anything that daring. But let's let DJ++ speak for himself.
Well, so the thing I wanted most in high school was to get home and play more of Ultima 4. Mm. So perhaps you should be viewing me through geek-colored glasses.
Ultima 4, now that's the one where there's an army of superhuman hermaphrodites who invade Proxima
Centauri. That's Bogia.
It's really hard for me to tell, you know, what happens in your fantasy world. TJ,
wait, his fantasy world or the all-encompassing fantasy world of Ultima 4? Did it have a subtitle like Ultima 4, The Revenge of Ingvar or something?
I don't remember. Oh. And I don't recall hermaphrodites particularly attacking in the game. But, you know, I always thought of myself as that champion hermaphrodite saving the world.
So in high school, you didn't have any particularly... I mean, come on. You didn't say that you're claiming not to have any particularly strong sexual feelings, but that's impossible, right? Because all high schoolers do geekish and biologically. I mean, what?
Oh, sorry. Please, I didn't mean to wave you off with my body language.
Well, no. There are a lot of people, there are certainly a lot of people that don't ever actually get any sexual activity in high school, that's clear. But I think a lot of people want it. I mean, they're, you know, masturbating and buying, you know, Maxim magazine.
Teenagers are a little more than a Hungarian goulash of sexual provoking hormones. I mean, right?
Exactly, and you mix a little internet into that stew, and you've got.
Don't forget the dash of hermaphrodite.
Well, there was no internet at the time to be mixed in, you know. And
what year was this? The internet's been around since 1970.
Not where I lived, right? Everything was a long distance call. And none of it, you know, ISPs were not, you know.
Well, I mean, the internet obviously not as it exists today, but.
So did you surf the web for porn in 1970?
No, well, the web obviously didn't exist. I was just pointing out, just because I'm such a superior computer scientist, that, you know, the ARPANET, as originally developed as a government research project, has been around since the 70s.
But what impact would that have had on my life at the time?
Well, if you were, like, the children of college professors and you got to go to their lab every day, and, you know.
I did occasionally use Quantum Link at the time.
Mm. So you had a Commodore 64.
I did. I'm surprised you know that.
Do not be surprised at my knowledge, ever.
And our frequent listeners of the show will understand what a powerful empath DJ Miss M really is.
So I think I was still confused at the time. So I was interested in, I had the big stash of porn mags secured through various connections with other students and their older brothers.
These were straight porn mags, right?
They were straight porn, though I liked the ones that, you know, showed both, so I could get a little bit of each. But I never really thought it through. I remember when Three's Company came on, and they said about, you know, Jack Tripper was gay, pretending to be gay, and I was asking my parents what that meant, and they, of course, like, brushed me off repeatedly. And I'm not quite sure when it was I actually realized what Jack Tripper being gay meant. I just liked it when he fell over the couch.
I mean... Well, I mean, who didn't, right? But, I mean, when was the moment that the idea of what being gay really meant sort of first became clear to you? Like, was there some catalyst?
I can't actually recall when I first thought, you know, I don't remember in high school having thoughts of, oh, my God, I'm gay.
Now, I'm asking you when you knew you were gay, even though at the time, since you're hermaphrodite, the word gay may not apply strictly. I'm asking you as to when you first knew that the concept gay, like when you first understood what Jack Tripper was, right?
Well, see, I don't actually recall. I grew up in a small town. There wasn't, like, you know, What town is the town gay?
What state is this?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, interesting. Okay, proceed. Are you Amish?
No. Okay. No. Sorry.
Oh, because Amish people wouldn't use quantum link. They would use, like,
tin cans with string.
So I don't know when I first realized exactly what the point of Jack Tripper was, or what his pretending to be gay was.
Sociologists are still pondering that question. I think you're sort of putting too much of a burden on your teenage self to really understand the impact of Jack Tripper.
I was the one who put that burden on him.
Yeah, sorry. I think at college, sometime at college, I mean, I started, you know, doing things.
Wait.
In college. So, you know, at some level, it has to
like
be.
Like drinking beer?
No, I don't drink beer that much.
So for the
anonymous sex
for
was the...
Anonymous sex,
anonymous
wow.
Sex was
he was going to get to that via the process of elimination.
Yeah.
So when you said doing things with those kind of very, very sensuous quotes that you're making with your finger...
Sorry, I don't know how to make it with my voice.
Would you like to take give it a shot, DJ Missam?
Well, it's back when I was in college and I was doing things.
That was eyebrows.
There was still
something in his voice.
No, whatever.
I mean, another person might be back when I was in college and doing things.
Okay. Anyway.
So wait a minute. So you're in college in some anonymous Pennsylvania college. Is that right?
Yes.
But the Pennsylvania Amish Conservatory.
No, actually, it was Penn State University. I don't really care to. You don't have to keep it a secret. It was Penn State main campus.
But I mean,
it would be State College, Pennsylvania.
Aren't you afraid of losing your anonymity since only 300 or 400 people graduate a year from Penn State?
Well, you know, it's a tough call.
You're there, a wide-eyed freshman, and what introduced you to this notion of anonymous sex, and what form did it take?
I just happened to be in this one bathroom, and there was a hole in the wall, and someone was watching me.
Watching you what?
They were watching me actually use the bathroom. I don't know what.
Sounds mysterious. Sounds intriguing.
So this is a bathroom stall. Were you doing number one or number two? I mean, it's important for me to get this because it's kind of. I mean,
well, wait. At the time, he's a hermaphrodite, so he actually has two options for number one. Correct.
I was no longer a hermaphrodite at that time. That surgery was much, much younger.
But seriously, I mean, the reason I'm asking is actually kind of a serious question.
In a stall.
Because I think it goes without saying that sort of watching someone urinate can ostensibly be, I mean, you know, you could sort of imagine being turned on by that. You're seeing their penis, they're urinating, whatever. It's not, like, totally gross. But then, like, watching someone defecate and jack off, I'm sorry, but it doesn't work for me.
Well, I don't think he was.
I mean, I don't want to be judgmental of other people.
Is this show really about what works for you, or is it about what works for each and every one of our listeners? Right? I'm sure we have our scat contingent.
Well, I'm sure we do, and I support them 100%.
But the urination thing. Makes me want to open a parenthesis. I wanted to ask you about some protocol. I was coming back from the hockey game, walking through.
We're back in the modern day, and no longer in college.
Right? Yeah. Well, then we can go back there. I'm just taking a little sub,
but not talk because I have to go. Do an errand.
Okay. So I was walking through the parking garage, and there was this guy standing in front of his pickup truck, urinating in the parking garage. And I was wondering, since he was in public, does that mean it's okay for me to check him out, or am I still, you know, not allowed?
Or are you asking what? I mean,
yeah. What is proper protocol in that situation? Do I have to just ignore him?
Well, I would think you would want to ignore him, right? I mean. Well, it depends. There's two possibilities, right? Either he's just a straight drunk guy, in which case he'll be sort of irritated and confused by you checking him out. Or he's trying to show off, right? In which case it would be very appropriate.
Well, so I'm just wondering, you know, shouldn't straight drunk people who pee in public just expect people to... I mean, they're putting it on display. I should be allowed to take pictures if I want.
I'm back. I had to go urinate, and there was some guy watching me. And
that was me. You did it just inside the broadcast booth. I mean, what were you expecting?
So I don't think the guy was looking, you know, to watch someone defecate, right?
So what you're doing? That was a question I had.
Well, that was why I was there. I think I don't know why else I would have been there, but you know, things Different things happen.
I mean,
so I didn't.
After knowing DJ Miss M, I can imagine why else you'd be there.
I'm going to pass you this note subtly. Keep talking, though.
So, but at the time, you're innocently going number one in the bathroom.
Do you know what passing up? No wonder you never got sex in college. Do you know what passing up means?
Oh, I'm supposed to pass it along?
I'm supposed to read it and pass it along.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. This just isn't working for me. I'm going to go home and cry.
So, where were we? So, I went in the bathroom.
Nature called.
To my business, right? Before I could do my business, I noticed, you know, there was this hole in the wall and there was an eye on the other side of it.
But no, he didn't have opera glasses or anything. I guess you're at pretty close range, so you wouldn't.
He's in the next stall. So this is always interesting to me. I mean, first of all, two things. Like, I always used to, in some restrooms, I used to notice that there was a lot of graffiti, like drawings of penises or phone numbers or whatever. And I never connected that to, like, homosexuality. I just thought, oh, people are just being kind of funny, and they just feel like drawing because they're freaks or whatever.
And some people are lonely and like to get phone calls. That's it.
Right. Or, you know, they're just as a joke, you know, they're putting their friend's phone number in there just to, like, be lame. But now that I'm, like, hipper to this vibe, I realize that, men's bathrooms are a hotbed of sexual activity. At least certain ones are. And so I guess I'd never seen a lot of them with holes in them, although, you know, university bathrooms and airport restrooms, there are certain ones that do have that kind of thing. Just, I'm sharing myself here. I'm trying to integrate myself into your story.
Okay.
So there you are. This person's face is right up against the hole. Is that what the idea is? Like,
this was a very small hole, right? This is, you know, like a hole for watching, not a hole for doing.
Size of, let's say, a quarter, maybe?
Yeah, probably not even that big.
Okay.
Probably around a quarter. I'd say a quarter. That sounds good. That's
kind of freaky. I mean, it reminds me of that. There's some kind of scene in, you know, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, when you see the giant humpback whale eye looking through some hole. I mean, doesn't it, like, freak you out? Like, aren't you afraid that was, you know,
never occurred to me that
alien intelligence studying.
Which one of the famed Star Trek cast members is urinating while the whale watches them?
Bones, I guess. Because he's older, he probably has more of a problem with urinary incontinence and so on.
So, but we keep interrupting DJ Plus's story. I think we should just get out of the way of his onrushing sexual development.
That's quite all right.
So there's his eye.
Sky looking. I didn't know what he was doing. Though I do recall, and I don't remember if I recall this at the time, but I remembered hearing rumors about, you know, things happening in this bathroom. But I don't think I was recalling that at the time. So I was like, what's up with this guy? Didn't really know what was going on, but then, of course, you know, he stopped looking, and I was curious, so I looked. He was masturbating on the other side, so then I put on a show for him, et cetera, et cetera.
So then what?
So then, you know, he stopped, looked again, so I, you know, put on a show for him, masturbated for him.
Wait. So, interesting. So you saw him masturbating, and so what did that look like? I mean, in as much detail as you can muster.
It looks just like it does when you do it.
Was it him? Was it him and the other stall?
Fact, I think it was.
Wow, this story gets more and more curiouser and curiouser as we go along.
So the person that you saw. So how much of this did you see? Did you see his whole? Did you see his face? Did you see his body? Did you see his?
No, I don't think I could see part of his body, but not his face.
Could you tell whether it was young or old? Another college student, perhaps, or
I don't recall. I don't think that I could tell from looking through the hole.
Did you want to see his face, or was there something with the whole anonymity about it that made it?
Well, at the time, I was just thinking, wow, I'm finally going to have sex. And I really wasn't worried about the details.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but that implies that you sort of already knew that you wanted to have sex with a man, right?
Right. I don't know. I certainly was interested in it at that point. I don't know that I had thought about it before that.
But something felt right about it at some level, right? Okay.
Yeah, I certainly wasn't freaked out.
And so his spongy little eye came back to the hole. I mean, does that freak you out, like, when you're both looking in the hole at the same time and your eye, like, tries to focus?
Well, you try to coordinate things so that doesn't happen.
Well, how? Like, what, telepathically? I mean, you're not actually speaking to one another.
Well, so one of you is looking, right? And the other one is doing. And when the other one stops doing, you assume that he's next going to look.
Interesting.
I mean,
or you can, you know, talk. Really? Then there's the note passers, right? The people who like to write on toilet paper and pass it back and forth.
Did that happen to you? Has that happened to you?
It has happened to me, but not the first time.
What's the most amusing note anyone's ever written you?
I don't remember. I don't remember any particularly amusing notes.
Okay. I can only imagine if DJ Miss M were writing notes that they would be witty, funny, and incisive, right?
Well, the notes usually are short and to the point, right? The most humorous sight looking through the hole was the guy who thought that I would be turned on by his ability to flex his penis without touching it, like to make it bounce, and I just laughed at that. I thought that was pretty funny. But anyway, another
side.
I mean,
that really makes a guy hot, doesn't it, when you laugh at his...
I mean, I think all men can do that. I mean, unless you...
I wasn't... Yeah, that's why I wasn't impressed, but he seemed to think it was a...
True. Although some people, Mr. Lifto can do it while hanging a steam iron from his penis. So.
Now that, I would be impressed.
Yeah, true.
So, but see, the thing that I'm trying to get from you here is this was really a moment of transition for you. I mean, you...
It wasn't like I left the bathroom and said, I'm gay.
but you hadn't done this before, and then suddenly you were thrust in the situation, and instead of, like me, what usually happens to me in the first couple times I experience something new is like I'm scared and I run away, and then I think about it, and then I regret not having acted. But you took the bull by the horns.
So to speak.
And you knew exactly what to do. And so, furthermore... So, like, you masturbated, he masturbated, you masturbated, he masturbated, back and forth. And then what happened? Did you, like, shoot your copious teenage loads? Or was there some, like, hey, let's meet at my place for more action? Or what was the next step?
It was rare that anybody wanted to go anywhere else. Well, but that particular instance, the next step was he wanted me to get down on my knees under the stall, since the hole wasn't big enough to do anything.
Mm. How did you know that?
He said so.
Oh, really?
This magic talking.
Well, I think actually what happened was he reached under the stall was the next thing that he did.
Mm.
So not knowing quite what that meant, I just kind of slid in his general direction while remaining seated so that he could reach.
Reach?
My penis.
Interesting.
Sorry, I will turn up the detail level.
Thank you. He was manipulating. You know, for someone who... I find it ironic that you're so incredibly empathic in the cruisy gay bathroom, but you are not empathic when it comes to following my instructions.
So
I mean, he's clearly optimized for sex, right?
That's right.
I mean, if I were masturbating right now, would you be more in tune with my vibe?
I'd be looking the other way.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
So he reached under, I moved over, and then...
But that's pretty awkward to be reaching under a stall and then up to your crotch. I mean,
well, which is what led to the, you know, on your knees, under the wall thing.
Mm. And did you comply?
Yes,
interesting. And then, so what was that all about? So you were manually manipulating each other? And were you like...
No, I think at that point I was just kind of sitting there enjoying the process. Because, you know, I really didn't know what I was doing or what was going on. I was just kind of doing whatever he did. Right, so, and then it led to oral sex.
In the bathroom?
In the bathroom.
Under the stall?
Under the stall.
And who was performing oral sex on whom?
Him on me.
Really?
Well, yeah, this is my first time. I wasn't that, you know, well-adjusted and waiting to take charge.
I don't know what to expect, but, you know. So
he was very much in charge.
Mm. Did he perform oral sex on you until
orgasm?
Orgasm?
Yes. See, really? That was very empathetic. See, I can't say the word. That's why I'm not
empathic.
Empathic. Yeah. Thank you. Now that I look stupid, it's all your fault.
It's okay. Most of our guests don't have a good vocabulary.
Shut up.
Doesn't matter if DJ Miss M and I like. Even paused every time we said something that looked stupid on the air, right?
Six 621-9728 if you want to share your thoughts, problems, or concerns with our panel of experts. So, I'm interested in the post-coital letdown, because at this point, you've shot your wad, and then this is when the rationality, guilt, and shame.
That's right.
For me,
it's when the guilt set in.
I thought this was when the cuddling began in the bathroom.
That's when the guilt's come in, and you know, you rush out of the bathroom thinking, "Oh my God, what have I done?"
Right. Exactly. And so it's interesting. What makes this situation kind of interesting is that he probably had not had his orgasm yet, and you had, and so he was still in the, you know, I love you. Not I love you. Scratch that. We'll edit that out. But I mean, he was still in the kind of interest in the sexual scene, and you were now returning to your feelings of guilt and self-loathing.
Right.
So is that what was happening? And so how did you feel after this thing was over?
Were you full of guilt and self-loathing?
Yes. Really? I was certainly full of guilt, yeah.
I mean, so, but take us there. You know, turn back the, you know, like Sherman and that dog.
Well, maybe we had appropriate time machine music, like
So there we are. You're like, and somehow magically no one has come in and interrupted you.
I think someone came in near the end. I don't remember. We may have been interrupted, you know. I don't have a perfect memory. There's so many times it all runs together. So I don't recall whether I was interrupted at that particular time. But, you know, so you stop and then you start again.
By stopping, you like jump back on your toilet seat and pretend to be doing your business.
Yes, exactly. Even though the majority of the people who have come in and interrupted you were there for the same reason and know exactly what's going on.
Interesting. Ah, the games we play. So even though you were a first timer here, like all of these interruptions didn't freak you out somehow.
Well, so I don't recall whether we were interrupted or not. Hmm. I think we may have been interrupted after I was done, which is the point where I, you know, fled.
And where did you go when you fled? I mean, did you go to church? Did you go home and cry?
Dairy Queen, library.
I don't recall. I either, you know, went to the class that I was late for or went back to my dorm room or whatever.
Key question, and this is going to go into my own psychology. Did you leave the man's saliva on your penis or did you, like, rinse it off? Like, did you, like, scrub it off with a wire brush? Because, actually, I think that's the most, frankly, the most disgusting thing about anonymous sex and is that I think, like, foreign saliva actually smells really bad. I mean, I don't know. It's just like, you know, if you're – I don't know if you've – you probably haven't. Like, when somebody puts their penis through a hole, like, in your face, and it's already been, like, sucked on by some other person, it has this aroma to it, which is like the aroma of that other person's saliva. And that actually totally turns me off. Can I be frank here?
Especially if the previous person was a smoker. Then they've got the whole smoking scent on it.
Indeed. And so, you know, when you have a partner or, you know, something or another, you're used to, like, their various, like, effluvia. But the kind of, the whole vibe coming from someone you don't even know is kind of, I mean, I'm sure this encodes my own twisted psychology. But the question here is, like, as the single physical remnant of this encounter still clinging to your body, did you just, like, tuck it back in your pants and spend the rest of the day being a student? Or did you spend an hour, like, in a hot bathtub, scrubbing and scrubbing?
I don't recall. I don't recall having the desire to go wash off.
Hmm.
I certainly got out of that bathroom as quick as I could, and I don't really recall where I went afterwards. But I don't think I went, you know, running to the shower.
I mean, it could go the other way. There's a you know, a cliche joke that when somebody shakes the hand of a famous person, they say, "I'm not washing this hand for weeks," right?
That's right. So I don't recall. But, sorry.
So this awakened is, you know, this let out the genie out of the bottle.
Well, so it made me realize that I could get sex whenever I wanted to by going to this one bathroom on campus.
Well, you didn't know that yet. So you knew that this happened once. So did you go back again later that day or later that week? Or?
I don't recall how long it was till I went back. I don't think it was very long. Right. The guilts go away pretty quickly. It doesn't take long.
But
it was years before I was really out to myself and, you know, thought about, you know.
So were you trying to date women at the time? Was you, like, the typical straight undergrad thing and, like, go to parties and have beer and hit on women and have them laugh at you because they can tell you work with computers? Oh, wait, sorry, that was me.
I was interested in women at the time. I didn't date anybody at the time, but I would have, you know,
given the chance.
But I didn't, you know, search out those opportunities to any great extent.
Hmm.
But I did think that I was interested in women at the time. Yeah.
So, how did you given that, how did you rationalize all these trips to the men's room? Was it just some kind of, you know, elaborate form of masturbation, or did you...
Well, I mean, I think, like, everybody has to go to the bathroom, and he's not really responsible for what happens once he gets there, right?
Yeah, I just always went to that bathroom because, you know, it was a nice place to go. It was clean or something. Now, I don't know that I ever, you know, really tried to rationalize it. It was just, it was a way to get off, I guess. I never, you know, it was sex. It wasn't love.
So you went back numerous times. Wait, can you put a figure on that? Hundreds? Thousands? I mean, we should have a ballpark figure.
Let's see how much more trouble I can get in, right, with the significant other. Well, let's see. I was there for 3.5 years.
Okay, 1,000 times.
Yeah, probably.
Really?
Really? Sweet Haile Selassie. Wow.
You know, at least hundreds of times, I would guess.
So did you... I don't know if this was...
But maybe not. I don't remember. Maybe I'm just romanticizing.
Oh, you know, this might be all fiction.
I went back. But, you know, that's for sure. And I just can't remember how often.
You're about to kick the microphone stand.
That would never happen.
Sorry. So was this always a pairing? Were there ever threesomes that somehow got started in this magical bathroom world?
That's actually going to be a room in the new Donkey Kong 64 from Nintendo.
Magical bathroom world.
You have to have the special.
Will it be key element that you can look through the stalls to like find your enemies?
That's right, and you need to actually find the special sucker suit. In one of the previous worlds before you can take full advantage of this world.
You know, I would have thought just to complete the homoerotization of it that you would have had to find some sort of magic wand or staff in the bathroom. So, but back to the threesomes. I've often wondered, right, because two people can watch at once, right? In theory, yeah, if there's a bathroom.
Certainly there was times when other people were watching and there was kind of group activities occasionally, rarely. Hmm.
Well, that sounds like two whole interesting subtopics. So there were times when you noticed people just kind of watching. So there are definitely people that want to watch but don't necessarily want to participate.
Right.
And did you ever get kind of a thrill performing for them or knowing they were watching?
Yeah, I think that there were times when I was, you know, doing something with one person and somebody else was watching, that I found that to be a turn on.
So would you find it a turn on to have DJ MSM watching some activity you might perform now?
No.
Even if it happened in a bathroom?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I could put on my Mr. Tidy Bowl Man outfit. If that would turn you on.
If you were a mask, I didn't know who you were or something like that. But,
So it's the fact that you know him and respect him that ruins it for you.
I'm going to have to see him again, I guess.
I mean, is there no one on this whole, like, in this whole region covered by the WRCT signal that is attracted to me? I mean, this is really getting frustrating for me.
Well, so, there's, you know, it's not about attraction. It's about, you know, if you're friends with somebody, you don't want to cross the line, right? Because then you get all those complications, and it's just it's uncool. Not to mention I'm you know, currently in a monogamous relationship.
But as you, to quote you before, it was just sex. It wasn't love.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. I mean, we could keep those two items separate. I mean, as a person who is also in a monogamous relationship but likes to keep the door a little bit open just in case something comes along, I think you can, in your mind, separate sex from love.
Sure.
Whatever.
But not everybody can do that, right? So that can be a problem.
How true. But I'm sort of curious. So do you think that all of these anonymous encounters in the bathroom just stayed anonymous? I mean, I think that I would be... And my primary fantasy in college was to find some, like, special, equally closeted, tragically pouty little friend and, you know, become super boyfriends and, like, live together forever and, you know, get by a... buy a condo on New Utopia and live a lifestyle conformant with the principles of objectivism. And so this was my fantasy. So so I always thought, although I wasn't aware of the anonymous bathrooms in college, but it was sort of thought I'd meet somebody like that, and then we'd actually. And so the fantasy that I want you to fill out is, like, you've just had this sleazy sexual encounter with someone else who's probably also sort of closeted, but then you both decide, hey, you know, we really hit it off sexually, obviously, and we find each other kind of attractive. Maybe we should just do this in real life rather than in this, like, alternate universe bathroom world. So my question is, did you ever hit it off with anybody, or did you ever get enough of a good look at somebody where you thought, hey, you know, this person really appeals to me, both in terms of physical attraction and sort of way that, you know.
I mean, well, there were certainly people that. So there are certainly times when you saw the other person, right? You know, you see
their
face. You know,
you mean I.
I. There are certainly times when I saw the other person. They saw me. There are certainly times when people have anonymous sex, see the other person, right? Sometimes people come out of the stalls, right? Mm. Especially if there's extra people to watch, guard, right? Mm-hmm. To keep watch. But.
Wait. So these people keeping watch, would they physically restrain straight people who might wander into the bathroom, or would they just sound the alarm?
They would make a jungle noise.
They would make the sound of a dying giraffe. And
is the noise they make, is that sort of a standard throughout the entire nation's gay community, or is it a regional issue?
I don't know. If you'd like to pay for me to take a tour, I will try to.
Well, our budget's running a little slim.
But there are some things that are, you know, common means of communication. But I don't know about the warning signal being one.
It would actually be interesting, unless you were going to say something else.
I believe we did interrupt him in the middle of this.
I was going to say that there were people that I saw, and there were certainly people that I wanted to have repeat encounters with. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't really looking for a relationship at the time.
So there was no actual exchange of information. You never said, like, grunt twice if you like long walks, grunt twice if you like British sitcoms, that sort of thing.
Well, that because would occasionally come in, you know, with the note passing. Right?
Wow.
People would want to, you know more. And there was the occasional person who would want to, you know, go somewhere or meet sometime later or whatever.
Did you ever follow up on those invitations?
No. Mm.
Because, why?
I wasn't looking for that kind of thing. I was looking for sex, quick sex in the bathroom. No strings attached.
Fast food sex, almost, it sounds like.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
So the thing that I find interesting, I actually find two things interesting. Like, it's interesting that these places spring up and then everyone figures out where they are. Like, for example, every major city has a gay loop, you know, where people drive around in a loop and cruise. And
okay. Is that true?
But do not even question my knowledge. Haven't you learned your lesson yet?
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes, that's true.
And,
for the benefit of our listeners, perhaps you could tell them where that loop is here in Pittsburgh.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I should. You know, if you're gay, you sort of empathically know, and if you're not, then maybe you shouldn't know.
Yeah, the first time I drove down that road quite by accident, you know, I immediately sensed what was going on.
Was it sort of like having a spider sense, but highly attuned to gay sexual activity?
It was more like, I know what these guys are looking for. I mean, I don't know if it's a spider sense. I mean, you see what's, you know, you see people parked around, and you're thinking, what are these people doing here? And then it dawns on you.
Right, exactly. I mean, so I had a friend, actually, this student is from New Zealand, who was walking through Shenley Park, and that's your first clue. And he posted this message to our little chat board, and he was like, well, you know, this weird thing, I was walking through the park today, and I entered this area, and all these guys were kind of standing around looking at each other and looking at me, but they weren't talking. Well, is that some kind of American custom? And I was like, no, you just walked through the so-called fruit loop. But as well as locations that get established, there's also well-established body language. For example, the foot-tapping thing, right? So tell us about the foot-tapping thing.
There's not much to say. I mean, you tap your foot, the other person taps back.
Taps on the floor? Or you don't tap the other person's?
No, you tap your foot up and down.
We're not talking like Sammy Davis Jr. style.
Right.
We're just talking about your foot
up and down, usually just your toe, your big toe, part of your foot, up and down a few times.
And it's all about plausible deniability, right? Because you can be like, oh, I was just tapping my foot. I wasn't inviting you to have gay sex with me.
Right.
I mean, and that there's this kind of throat-clearing thing that some people do.
Yeah, I never quite figured out the throat clearing. Also, there seem to be some people who pulling rolls and rolls of toilet paper out with some kind of signal, though I never quite got that either.
It seems one that's awfully unfriendly to Mother Earth.
Agreed. Though maybe they rewound after they were done and then pulled again for the next person. I don't know.
You know, I hear that Japanese gay toilets actually have an electronic device that you can press that makes the sound of unrolling toilet paper but doesn't actually use any toilet paper.
Okay. Well, they have the devices that, you know, you program for what you're looking for, and when you get in close proximity with a match, it, like, starts making an alarm.
Really? And so
that's in Japan.
In Japan.
Oh, okay.
A Tamagotchi type thing.
Is there an option for gay anonymous sex with no strings attached?
I'm sure there is.
I think you can set, you know, a number of variables, like the sex that you're looking for, and... clearly the sex that you are, and whether you're looking for sex or friendship or whatever. Because I think these are somewhat popular among, you know, schoolgirls. So I don't think they're getting the ones that are about sex.
So they're like, they want a pony or... You know.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, various levels of these things. Right?
What's that? And then some old man has one that says, I have pony. Let's talk.
I like Barbie, whatever.
Well, no, but if one of the schoolgirls has one that says, I want a pony, the other schoolgirls aren't going to have ponies lying around to give away, right?
Well, the rich schoolgirls might have a pony that the other girl could ride.
True, but then what's the rich schoolgirl getting out of it? Sort of like pillow fighting lesbian action? Or
No, she's getting a friend. She's desperate for friendship because her parents keep her separated from...
Okay, so it's more of like a have pony, desperately need human contact sort of situation.
Yeah. In my experience, that's the...
No, Japan's actually a pretty small country. I bet there aren't a lot of people with ponies, given the amount of land you need to sustain one.
That'd be some kind of Sony robot.
So was that conversation actually about Japanese girls and ponies, or is that some sort of... Was there some gay subtext to that that I'm not aware of?
Well, the way I interpreted that is that you're going to come over later and take me up the back door. I mean, wasn't that...
But didn't once I say, like, I have to leave now, I have to finish this assignment, didn't you also interpret that statement the same way?
Yeah, you know, I it's caused more than one misunderstanding.
Yeah.
So an interesting fact about the Fruit Loop, well, I don't know if it's a fact, but my understanding from what I've heard from talking to people is that in the past it was very much a bigger social thing, right? Mm. They were gathering for sex, but it was also like, you know, they would go there on Labor Day and they'd all have a big picnic.
Oh, yes, yeah, so somebody would have a picnic. And now it's just about sex.
I don't know. Maybe there's other focuses for community-type activities now, so that...
Well, I can speak to this issue. Interrupted.
Okay.
Because I used to... Indeed, it was that way. I mean, a lot of people sort of just hung out there with their friends. I mean, you could either kind of slink back to the woods and have sex, or you could just sort of hang out on the main road or on the kind of grassy area and sunbathe or just chat with your friends. And indeed, on Labor Day, people would hang out there and have a picnic. I used to play volleyball there every week, and they'd set up a net and have a little volleyball action there.
So this is just sort of a reflection of the American tradition of cruising, right? In my hometown, when I was in high school, there was one street where all the kids from the country would come, and they would park their cars, they would drive up and down. I mean, there wasn't any of this...
Park
casual
cars and drive up and down?
No car would do both simultaneously. But they would drive around, park their car, talk to people, drive the car around a little bit more, right? There was no, you know, casual anonymous sex, right?
Mm. Yeah, that happens, you know, on Mount Washington, right? People are always complaining about the loud radios that the kids are playing. Yeah, you know... It seemed, you know, the Fruit Loop is very much the gay community doing that and making it their own, right? Adding their own little twist to it. Since society represses them and they can't, you know, just have sex like they want to.
Wait a second. I'm not arguing that gays aren't repressed, but that doesn't seem to stop them from having sex the way they want to.
Well, they can't meet, you know, and so many people feel shame. They can't go to a bar and pick up a guy, right, because somebody might see them. So instead they slink to this park where most people won't find them except for the night that, you know, WTAE decides they need higher ratings and they go there with their camera and videotape the poor people.
Really? WTAE really did that?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I think it was TAE. May have been Channel 11, but I think it was TAE.
Huh.
You know, ratings were slim ratings were low. They needed, you know, they needed a sweep story. But so and then I saw on a webpage somebody was, you know, posting a picture of they'd caught some couple having heterosexual sex in the park. So they wanted to have, you know, equal time.
So this is on a webpage?
Yeah, I don't remember.
So what's the penalty for having heterosexual sex in the park?
What?
What's the penalty for having heterosexual sex in the park?
I don't know. I imagine that there's some, you know, law against having sex, you know, in the park. I wouldn't know.
Well, I think when the police harass people for having homosexual sex in the park, the law that they use is probably the one that's equally... It's not homosexual specific, but they just wouldn't... You know, they don't go driving through the equivalent heterosexual place looking for people.
You know, well, I mean, you know, dearly, I mean, like, I wish there were a place where I could go and have random casual sex with women, right? But I haven't found that yet.
I think Cinnabon offers that. Tuesdays at the Century 3 Cinnabon.
Well, I mean, isn't we're that, back in the stainless steel dough vats, I mean.
Yes.
Did they include the frosting as part of the... As part of the sex? So, I mean, I just think there are fewer... I mean, there aren't giant congregations of straight couples having sex in the woods, right? Like there's CTV.
Sure. Well, okay.
I mean, there may be the individual couple, but there's no, like, right. single, like straight single scene.
That's because you go to Chauncey's, you pick up a big-haired woman.
True, but, are there not gay bars?
Yeah, but there's a stigma, you know, with going into a gay bar, right? If one of your friends is walking out of the Harris Theater... and sees you walking into Pegasus on Saturday night, you know, suddenly you're exposed.
I guess, but also if you know, somebody, if a TV station comes and videotapes you in Shenley Park, right? I mean, you're exposed as well, right?
Right, but this doesn't happen on a regular basis, right? So people are taking the risk. It's all about risk.
So in the 10 seconds that remain...
Talk about... I thought we were going to talk about threesomes. why did I have that impression?
Well, look, you know...
There's only so much time.
Blame yourselves. All right.
There's more than enough blame to go around on this one, baby.
Thank you all for listening. The time has just flown by. This is WRCT Pittsburgh, DJ++, DJ Lance. Please tune in again next week if you dare. Good night, everyone.